The story of our next guest mirrors the story of her character in her novel. Victoria Brown immigrated here from Trinidad when she was 16 years old. She became a nanny in order to support herself. And then she started getting her education here. She began at community college and eventually transferred to Vassar to complete a bachelor's degree. And now I'm holding in my hand her book called Minding Ben. She joins us in our studios to talk about her novel.
You Congratulations.
Know, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
That's an amazing achievement. And I got to ask you, if you, going into writing it, you must have known about this new, sort of new category we have that's called nanny lit. Did you decide that since you yourself were a nanny, you wanted to be part of that, or were you simply telling a story?
You know, I was simply telling a story. And the truth is, when I started working on the novel, Nanny Lit hadn't yet exploded. In fact, just as I'd begun working on Minding Ben, the Nanny Diaries came out.
In 2002.
So, in 2002. That's exactly when I started working on the book.
Well, this is a very, very different book from The Nanny Diaries. I should say that right at the beginning. The Nanny Diaries, if you, in case you need a reminder, that was a very neurotic, sort of self-obsessed, rich society woman and who ended up abusing a lot of the people around her.
Sounds like the West Side.
That is not what this book is about. This book, it includes all kinds of things, but one of the things that strike me is how much of it is about the invisible people in New York, or I guess in any big city, the people that you walk past on the sidewalk every day, ride up in elevators with, see them in stores, and never really notice.
Right. So while I didn't consider Nanny Lit while I was writing the book, I did think very much about character and the invisibility of character and, you know, directly the nannies, that you either see them or you don't see them, but they're everywhere. I mean, they're in all the parks in Brooklyn, on the Upper East Side, on the Upper West Side. They're all these, you know, basically nameless, faceless women with stories and lives and backgrounds and these really complex histories. And I did think really clearly about illuminating some of that.
Well, you know, let me talk to you a little bit about the relationship between the main character in this book, Minding Ben, and Ben, the little boy. Because by the time you finished this book, you had kids of your own, right?
Yes.
And that must have changed the way you wrote the novel.
Well, it certainly changed the interaction Grace has with Ben. I mean, you become, you know, the smaller, more familiar gestures you have with your own child. I was certainly able to transfer that into the way Grace cares for Ben, as well as the other women. You know, I'd always loved children, and I had been a nanny, so I had, you know, I had something to draw on. I had experiences to draw on for taking care of a child, but it's much different when you have your own child, right? So there's more, obviously, there's more intimacy, there's more familiarity. And I hope I was able to draw on that.
Well, you also, for kids, nannies aren't invisible. The
No.
kids have this bond and they see the character as fully realized, even though the adults may ignore in New York. The kids, I mean, in my case, you know, all of the nannies are in a pantheon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're spending the majority of the day with the child. For the, you know, most of the women start work quite early because you're getting into work so that your boss can go off to work. So you're getting there. Sometimes you're the person who's there when the child is waking up, right up until, you know, time to put the child to bed. Really, during the week, the nanny is the person that the child sees and comes to love, you know, mostly.
Well, you know, let me just ask you, I mean, a lot of this book comes directly out of your own experience, just like the young lady Grace in the book. You were a young woman from Trinidad. You took that flight, that air flight over to New York. At age 16, you became a nanny here. So why a novel? Why didn't you write a memoir?
You know, the story does kind of lend itself to memoir, but I wanted to tell a broader tale than just my story. Had I written memoir, and I did consider writing a memoir, then I'd be limited to telling my story. I think by using the novel, I could tell a broader story. I mean, I do reference very, very actively my own life story in the novel. I mean, my middle name is Grace. So it does very closely parallel my life story, but I like to say that the work is autobiography, biography, and fiction, and not necessarily in that order. So it's in there, but it's not only my story.
So what were these things that you added in that you needed to make it a novel in order to write about?
Well, there are other women in the book, right? So there are other women in the book who, for the most part, are made-up characters. It's not simply the story of the 16-year-old girl. There are other women who have, you know, families back at home. There are other women who are dealing with spousal abuse. There are other women who are trying to make their way. So it was a way of including more stories that hadn't been told, rather than simply telling my own coming to America story.
What's the tension, both in terms of your real life and in the novel, of the Upper West Side of Manhattan as this emerald city of the dreams of what one might want versus a place I don't want any part of? This place is nuts.
Well, when you say this place is nuts, do you mean the sending countries, the home countries?
No, the Upper West Side, the Upper West Side, New York.
Well,
it's not an emerald city.
No, it's not an emerald city at all. But you do have a large population of socially mobile women, of upwardly mobile women, working class, middle class women who need someone to take care of their children. So for a nanny looking for work, it is, in fact, a kind of an emerald city. It's more than an emerald city. It's literally a place where there is, you know, we have very low employment rates, but you can actually find a job. There's work that's available there.
And it certainly ended up being an incredible opportunity for you. I mean, you're the classic American success story. But, you know, I got to wonder, you now have children of your own and you have a babysitter, and I'm told that you will not call her a nanny.
You know, back in the day, nanny used to be a pejorative term in Trinidad, where I'm from. So for the longest while, there was sort of a cringe factor associated with the word nanny.
She's just part of the team, right?
So, you know, I actually, even though I don't call Liz, who's my sitter, I don't call her my nanny. She's my babysitter. She comes in and she watches my son when I need her to come in and watch my son. My husband and I are very actively involved in raising our children. Liz is not our Mary Poppins. She's our sitter. She comes in when we need her. She works for us. And that's it. She's not our nanny.
What does she think of the book?
Liz has not yet read the book.
Ah. She may have thoughts when she gets done to the end.
She may have her own book.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, it will not be the Nanny Diaries.
No, it won't be the Nanny Diaries.
This is an amazing book, and it is about a lot of very different and often very strong women. Victoria Brown, brand new book, author of Minding Ben, also former nanny for 5 years and now pursuing your MFA at Hunter College, right?
Yes.
Good luck with that. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you both.
And congratulations. More of The Takeaway online. You can always get the latest from D.C. Follow Todd Zwillick, the very sleep-deprived Todd Zwillick this weekend. We avoided a government shutdown very early Saturday morning. It doesn't mean the fight over the budget is over. Todd will give you the very latest. You, that's right, just follow him on Twitter. His handle is Todd_Zwillick. Spelled with a C-H there at the end, not a K. Special thanks this hour to the many producers and editors who help out our program behind the scenes. There's David Fizikas. David worked with Todd to get us today's coverage on the budget and the shutdown fight, but he won't go on Twitter. No, he will not tell you anything you want to know. You'll have
to
go to Todd for that.
Really? Is that true? David Fizikas refuses to tweet?
No, he doesn't. He's behind the scenes. Oh. Power behind the scenes, David Fizikas. Hey, David, thanks so much. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway. We'll be right back.